Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, it's match day. It's the latest match day special with me, your host, Russell Guyver, on the podcast about the beautiful club within the beautiful game. And we've got the beautiful people next to us. We've got Ahmed and Alison. Welcome back on the pod. Ahmed, yeah. You were there on Thursday. How are you feeling going into today's game?
Oh, I'm feeling a bit nervous today.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm hoping if we come out with a draw, we'll be good. But if a win happens, excellent.
We'd take a hit, wouldn't we? On the basis of beating Marseille and beating Palace, we'd take a hit today, wouldn't we?
Definitely, yeah.
Even though my mate Matthew is with us, who we'll get on the pod shortly, who's an Arsenal fan. And but to be honest, he's paid his dues. Every time we play them, we seem to get a result.
We do.
And he said he hates Brighton because we just keep getting results. So he might actually meet us for a drink afterwards if we win rather than bottling it.
Well, I think recently...
If he wins, I mean.
In the past few years, I think North London has been ours.
Yeah. Ah, oh, exactly. We had the song, didn't we?
Yeah, we had that song.
Yeah. So, I'm sure he wouldn't have objected to one half of that scenario, but not so much with the other. Yeah. But we'll see how the game goes. It's one where you really, really can't call it because,
no.
As I said, we're in between two huge fixtures for different reasons.
Arsenal are on top form, but
yeah, they're a better team.
We could surprise them today as well.
I mean, they're not particularly better this year than last year, and yet we beat them 3-0, wasn't it, last season? In fact, that was our last Premier League clean sheet.
Possibly there could be an upset again today.
Yeah, we'll see how we go.
Let's see how it goes.
And you're here for the duration, maybe a bit of post-match as well, or are you going to head off?
Possibly.
We'll see, we'll see.
Possibly, we'll see.
Yeah.
Depending on the result.
Yeah, see how the result goes.
Yes, those are the dulcet tones of the lovely Alison as well. Alison, you were there Thursday. Let's talk about that. How do you feel about that?
It was absolutely amazing, and I'm so glad that, unlike a few, we still stayed to the end.
Yes.
Couldn't understand how people were accepting the 0-0 and were beginning to exit. So,
a couple of people near me did that. But, I mean, yeah, I was up in North London. I made it there. You just got to, okay, I can drive. Maybe some people can't drive, and maybe they're... Whatever, but a lot of people are in somewhere like Brighton and they leave early. I can't get that.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the vast majority did stay, more than normal, and that's a mark of how momentous an occasion it was and what a great result. But we move on to today, and we'll see how we go against Arsenal. We've got our friend who was on the pod last season. Tell us your name again, sir.
My name's Richard.
Yes. You were on last season, ahead of the game. It didn't go too well for you guys.
I made some very bullish predictions, as I remember. I think I was trying to temper it to not come across too arrogantly, but yes.
It did go a bit pear-shaped on that occasion.
It taught us a little bit of a lesson, exactly that, yes, yes.
It was a madly good result for us. I mean, we had a great season in general, but that was better than I could have imagined, regardless of previous good results we'd had, but... I don't anticipate the same result this season, I have to say.
Well, yes, I'm going to keep my powder dry again on this one, I think. But yes, it's entirely possible. I don't know. I'm very happy with where we are this season in terms of... I mean, we were obviously top of the league this time last year. We spent most of the season, obviously, at the top of the league.
And yeah.
I think that ultimately is what cost us.
Yeah.
Was the... nosebleed, was constantly having to make all the running. So the fact that we're a couple of points behind or a point behind Liverpool now, see how they go this afternoon. I'd be very happy for them to make the running for the rest of the season, to be honest, and see what we can do. I was explaining it to my son and saying it's a little bit like being at the Monaco Grand Prix. What you want to do is slipstream the leader until the last lap and then apply the curse.
Yeah, I think you're probably better equipped this year just for the experience of last year.
I would say so, yes.
Yeah, and the fact that City are, I wouldn't say crumbling, but they're looking a little bit ropey. I know they're strong as the season wears on, but I think they've got less points than they had last season. And you guys look as strong as last season.
I think, well, exactly. When you think coming off the back of last season and coming off a treble, most teams that come off the back of a treble, they've, you know, what else is there to achieve in a lot of ways? So they've kind of done it. I don't think they're taking their foot off the gas. I don't think there's any complacency there, but keeping that momentum is very hard. And of course, they're without the shaved warthog for a couple of weeks, so you know, that's always going to cost them.
That's an intriguing comment there. Well, sitting next to you is another Arsenal fan who you've not met until today. We're in the Hamilton Brewery, by the way, our old haunt. We love it here. Absolutely fantastic brewery. Really good selection of beers. Local one for Arsenal. Next to you is another Arsenal fan, but I know him very well. My old mate Matthew. Have you been on the pod before? A while ago now. How are you doing, Matthew?
I am very good, Russell. Thank you. Yeah. Nice to see you today.
Yeah. Now you've told me on a number of occasions you hate Brighton because we keep getting results against you.
Yeah.
Is that going to keep happening, or is this going to be the day where you get a result of yours against us?
I don't hate Brighton.
I know.
I hate what you do against us. Yeah, it's impossible. I don't know. Some people I've met today. Anyway. I don't know. I don't know what we'll do today. I think it's very difficult to predict nowadays. Sometimes we play well, sometimes we don't. I don't think we've been that good this season, to be perfectly honest. No, we're up there, but I don't think we've played as well as we did last season, no. I think we're not as exciting to watch. We're not as clinical in our finishing. Defensively, we're probably better, but I don't know. I think it can always go one way or the other. Arsenal, particularly with Brighton. So I'm on the fence, to be honest, for today.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those fixtures where whenever I come to this game, I've got absolutely no idea what's going to happen here, because we like scoring goals, we like conceding them as well. We really, really like doing that too. So anything can happen. But I said that at the Marseille game. I thought this is going to be 5-4 or something stupid. Both teams play the same way. Technically, we're better, so we should win. So I went 5-4 to us, and it's a 1-0 with a last minute goal. So you never know, do you, with football?
You don't.
Yeah. I always get a score wrong without fail. So I'm just going to throw in a 3-3 draw. So that's the one thing you now know is not going to happen.
I like that. I was going to go with 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2.
I'll go 2-2, hoping it isn't 2-2.
That's exactly. I'm trying to put a jinx on it. You know, the reverse jinx.
Yeah. Well, saying to Ahmed and Alison just now, we're in between two enormous fixtures for very different reasons. We had the Marseille game where we needed the win to win the group, to avoid that loss, that extra playoff round, avoid another very unwanted pair of fixtures on a very busy schedule that we're getting used to for the first time. So that was a huge game, huge result for us. And we've got the little matter of our old friends Crystal Palace on Thursday. So in a weird way, the Arsenal game is the one where, not that we're not going to give respect to Arsenal, obviously, but where we can afford to probably take the hit on the basis that it's a game, logically, you probably would lose more often than not.
You'd rather win the Palace game.
Yeah, exactly. We can't lose to that lot. So but also the timings of when those games are. We might play a weakened team today. Not ridiculously, but we might rest two or three players that we would have preferred to play.
Do you think De Zerbi has that same mindset? Like, he prefers the Palace game over...
I think it's more about the times of the games. I think the fact we've had that game on Thursday, and it's too much of a challenging game just 3 days later. Well, 2 3/4 days later, 2.5 days later. So I think on that basis he might do. Not because he wouldn't want to win this match, not because particularly about the Palace game itself, just more about the timings. It's obviously more logically we're more likely to get a result at Palace than at Arsenal on paper. Who knows? Anyway, all good. Arsenal, so let's talk Arsenal a bit more. Do you think you're going to win the title? Because City are flaky. He's shaking his head already. That's the sign of a proper football fan. Proper football fans never think they're going to win. You're not an entitled Arsenal fan, as the old adage really irritates you goes around.
As an entitled Arsenal.
Oh, there we go, exactly.
we know what to expect.
That's not how you pronounce the words Chelsea and Manchester United at all, is it? All Man City now.
I don't know. I would like us to be challenging for it to say we're going to win it. I think it could go one of probably four or five different ways at this point in the season, so let's wait and see. It's too early to call it.
And speaking of entitled, by the way, Spurs fan I heard on a podcast the other day was talking about how they're long suffering. I think, yeah, exactly, because they nearly went out of business in the 90s, like Brighton. You know, so it's that must have been tough for them being in the Premier League year after year. Yes, they haven't won trophies, but neither have we. So, yeah, and we might win one before they do, though.
I think for Spurs, the thing is they live in our shadow. So that's where the suffering comes from. It's that kind of like, Arsenal have done well over this that same period when they've won nothing. So,
Well, we're doing a preview podcast before the Palace game with some Palace fans. So I'll put that to them and say, well, you're going to be in our shadow for many years to come now. We've got
they will be in your shadow. Brighton have it set up properly. Yeah. You've got a proper set up.
We've been building towards something.
Brighton could be challenging for the league title.
They're just jobbing around in the division, aren't they? Yeah. You're off, Will. Yeah. Brilliant. Cheers. See you after. We might be back here later.
They don't have a plan.
No.
They don't seem to have a plan, whereas Brighton clearly do have a plan. I was saying before, like, it'll come a point where you won't need to sell these big players that other teams come sniffing around. Yeah. And when you can keep hold of those guys, you keep hold of Evan Ferguson, you keep hold of these great players that you get from Peru and wherever, and that everyone else wants after, you'll have a team that can challenge for the title, challenge for trophies. So
yeah, because we're gradually just inching our way up on that profile.
You're doing it right.
And you get the Caicedos, who irritatingly still got like dazzled by the lights, but bit by bit we might avoid that. It might be down to luck with particular personalities we get in at some point here or two down the line.
It's partly personality, but it's down to the manager to manage those personalities as well. And if, like, so something Arteta did at Arsenal, for example, is when he came in, he got rid of all of the kind of dead wood, basically. All the players that were there for the paycheck didn't really give a shit. Out the door. Out they went. Ozil gone. Aubameyang gone. Didn't matter who they were. They were gone.
No.
And I don't know. I don't think De Zerbi's one to suffer fools either.
No,
so
it's not.
Yeah, I think you've got a good manager. You keep the good players. You keep challenging.
Yeah, we've already had that. It's brilliant. When Caicedo, when it was more or less done, he's going, I've already forgotten him. I love that.
From your manager.
Yeah. We're talking with Andy, who we'll get on later on the pod, about managers you don't like, and he doesn't like Arteta. So we had a nice little debate about that one. But all those managers that are driven and more outspoken and who are just obsessed with winning, that's what you want and that's what you need if you want to be successful. Pep's got that, Jürgen's got that, Roberto's got that, Mikel's got that. Even people you don't like Jose Mourinho, have got that. They have, and Arsene Wenger had that as well. They're obsessed with football. I've heard the same thing said about Roberto De Zerbi, as Klopp, as Arsene Wenger, that they're all utterly obsessed with football and watch a crazy amount of it.
Yeah.
It's not a surprise, is it, really? I'm sure Mikel Arteta's the same as well. He must be.
I imagine so.
Yeah. Incidentally, you have, of course, the glorious event of St Totteringham's Day every year, where you finish above them.
Well, not for a long time, but we did last season for the first time in a while.
So. And it's great to see. Any Arsenal fans listening, yeah, we appreciate all that. We love it. But we've got one as well. I've coined it St Nigel's Day, because we've got this nickname called Palace the Nigels. I don't know why it's a thing. It might be something to do with Millwall as well, but we call them the Nigels. So we're calling it St Nigel's Day, which is a thing that's now going to be very regular, I think.
I think it will be.
Yeah. So it's the day when you confirm to finish above your rivals, essentially. And that should probably happen around about, I'm going to estimate, around about February time.
This year?
Yeah.
For who? For both of us?
Both. Yeah, maybe both. Yeah.
I don't know, Tottenham have been a little bit.
Yeah, I think a bit unfair on Spurs. They have actually quite good.
Palace have been pretty poor.
Yeah.
Do you know what you really want, though, is for that day to come on like the first week in August, to have that.
Mathematically impossible, of course.
That's absolutely possible if they get relegated.
Relegation. Or points deduction.
Yeah.
You could have some Man City's day, couldn't we, soon?
Yeah.
But.
I'd hope so.
That's what that's all about. And Ange Postecoglou, to quote himself, would have to cob for it, mate.
He would. There's a lot of good blokes around. Doesn't want to let him down.
I do quite like him, actually. He's quite a nice guy. Anyway, that's enough of that. We're going to head off soon. I've got the feeling everyone's leaving, so we better get off. All right, cool. See you later, guys. So that's it for now. We're hoping we'll meet afterwards. Now, I don't want to be accusatory here, but on one or two occasions, we were supposed to meet afterwards, and you did disappear.
Well, Russell, I have two young children at home.
It's, nothing to do with the result at all.
No, of course not. I'm bigger than that.
Look, we'll meet either way, won't we, today? To be honest with you, I've got a feeling you probably either will want to or wouldn't mind meeting. I've got a feeling it's going to be one of those. We'll see. Have you got a score prediction?
I said 2-2.
Oh, you said 2-2, yeah.
I don't know. Oh. Try and put the reverse hoodoo would be 2-0 Brighton, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So, reverse hoodoo, about 2-0 Brighton. And let's see.
The only thing I can guarantee is it's not going to be 3-0, because I said that. I never, ever get the score right. It's quite uncanny, really. I should win some money on a bet like that. One time I did an accumulator bet.
It's not going to be this score.
No. I did an accumulator bet on 10 teams, and I got, I think I got 9 of them wrong. I think I should win some money for that, surely. It's that bad. It's good, isn't it? Anyway, that's enough of that. So, to the game. Cheers, Matt.
Cheers.
And we're not singing about the referee. It's the guy leading the ultras mode. How are you liking this? 3 minutes in?
Yeah, they're pressing us a little
all,
bit harder.
All them at the moment, Great atmosphere, though.
We'll win.
And we're taking a piss out of the ultras.
And where is Andy?
Where is Andy? Foodie Andy should be here. Donkey has just done his requisite chest scenario again. So absolute aplomb. Under huge pressure, right in front of his goal. Marvellous. And then Ferguson's been fouled, but unlike every other decision that the ref has given for fouls,
oh, here we go again.
He hasn't this time because it's a Brighton player. Andy, discuss. To be fair, he's got those wrong, hasn't he?
I'm laughing at you.
Well, it's at 31 minutes for this today. That's not bad. So we've reached half time. It's 0-0. It's been all Arsenal pretty much in this match. Veltman's had to go off injured. Hinshelwood's come on quite early in the half and has done exceptionally well, I think. Andy, what's your take on the half?
Well, my take on the half is that I was actually substituted on quite early in the game because of the ridiculous electronic ticketing process and my technological incompetence. So I only got in after about 15 minutes. And standing outside the stadium, it sounded like Arsenal were all over us at that particular point in time. And in the 35 odd minutes, because there's been 5 minutes of extra time added on, we've barely been in their half. But they haven't really created too many opportunities. They've been in some really promising positions, but we've kind of dealt with them pretty well. We look tired. I'm glad Lallana started. I want Lallana to come off at half time because he's done absolutely nothing. Their press, their organisation is really, really good, and the way that they play is effectively Havertz and especially Odegaard get on the ball and they play it out wide to Saka and Martinelli, and that's how they create their goals. And our two fullbacks don't look great at the moment, so I don't know. We're hoping to actually create the odd opportunity and hoping again that it falls to Fergie. And he puts in the back of the net, and then we can just frustrate them. But we're at half time, it's 0-0. I would say that I'm not terribly optimistic about the second half.
Arsenal are looking more the side that they were last season than they are this season, but they look a bit more savvy and experienced, and they look a bit more threatening. As you said, they've got in promising positions. They haven't quite been able to capitalise, but you're right with their what their strategies are. They're a big threat from out wide.
Look, there we go. It's just come on the screen. Arsenal 15 shots to ours, zero. They've only had three on target.
And two three, of those three, for powder puff. Yeah,
three corners to our zero.
Which should be two.
they've actually committed more fouls than us.
Yeah.
And
a yellow card is.
There you go. And when, the thing that I might have added earlier is, yet, despite all that, we go in at half time 0-0, and Zerbi will work, he could well work things out to make things a little bit better at half time. I was saying Lallana should come off. I think João Pedro should come on. Yes. You look at our bench, it looks really, really strong. So things could be much better in the second half, basically.
And alternately, we could bring on Buonanotte, who has been feeling his way nicely into his more preferred role of number 10.
Yeah,
that's another option.
Yeah, it is.
It depends on whether they want to bring Adingra off at some point and put João out wide, where he did quite well on Thursday.
Yeah, no, I would quite like to see João Pedro play out wide. I'm not so sure necessarily I'd want Buonanotte on. I thought Buonanotte was great on Thursday. All of a sudden, he's looking a little bit more physical, but that's the process.
And that's what you said of Billy Gilmore as well.
That's true. Buonanotte, it's a process. He's not quite there yet. I'd quite like to see Moda come on and play in the attacking midfield role. But we've got Welbeck now, so we can actually start rotating the forwards. And Russell and I have just been talking about the fact that the fixture congestion begins to ease off after today. The fact that Welbeck's on the bench is, really quite positive.
Yeah, we've got the 4 days till Palace, and then we've got something like 10 or eight days or something like that, 9 days until the next game. And the other thing we were talking about, it's way too early to say anything definitively about it yet, but we were saying off air, Pascal Gross, is there really an argument for anyone else's player of the season? Players like Van Hecker have been exceptional. Obviously, João has, in terms of his goal scoring and influence on games. But Pascal Gross has been brilliant. And today he's been covering really nicely in those deeper positions, as he's had to do against this side, particularly on the right side since Hinchinwood came on. But even covering on the left when there was a threat down that side. He just seems to be everywhere, as the guy next to me said.
He's the machine, the Kaiser. He's been so good this season. And as Russell says, it shouldn't be a conversation. I have absolutely no idea why people think that anyone else could be our player of the season other than Pascal. Look at his goals, look at his assists, look at his work rate, look at his game intelligence. Look at the number of touches that he gets through in the game. Look at the number of forward progressive passes. The guy's just utterly extraordinary.
And he's an engine. He's a machine as well, isn't he? He just keeps going.
And the good news about him, he's never had any pace. He's had a little bit like me when I ran. He's had negative pace. But that means that he could extend his career quite easily because, as Russell just said, his engine is absolutely extraordinary.
It's the C6 Steve quote again, isn't it? I started out with nothing and I saw what most of it left. That's him with his pace. As you said, 0-0 half-time, we're still in the game. And when we've got a potent force like Evan Ferguson, who, even if, when he's a bit jaded the last few weeks, probably carrying some ailments, he's still capable, as we saw in the Marseille game, of popping out of nowhere and putting a dangerous shot on target or thereabouts. We only need one of those if we can keep it level at the other end.
If we can create a decent opportunity and it falls to Ferguson, then all of a sudden my earlier expressed pessimism lifts, because if he is one of the best goal scorers that you will see in Premier League history. Yeah. I think,
and we're trying,
and that's an incredibly bold statement to say about someone just turned 19. But look at that goal he scored against Forest, for instance.
Yeah,
I mean,
look at what other people are saying. All the key pundits, Matthew, who we had on the podcast earlier, is an Arsenal fan. was quick and keen to point out how much he rates Ferguson. He said he's the best striker in the league at the moment, barring a couple of obvious exceptions.
Yeah. He isn't the best striker in the league at the moment.
He's best young striker, I think, was what he said, actually. Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. Although in Enciso probably rivals him on that front.
Yeah, there's a guy looking ahead while we're chatting. There's someone with Enciso on the back of their 2023-2024 top. Yeah. I think, he probably got that on there before the injury, but a bit of an unlucky choice.
Yeah.
We're yet to see him. But when he comes back and when others do,
him and Purvis, they're the players that we need back, really.
They make a big difference,
If Fatty comes back as well, that would...
If you look at the best of last season, they were at the heart of most. After Trossard left, they were the two that were really shining alone, weren't they?
Yeah.
As the two key figures.
Yeah.
And they got star appeal, they got star quality and swagger, and we're missing them.
Yeah.
And yet, here we are, eighth in the table, or at least at the beginning of the weekend, still in this game.
And as we say earlier, our bench, all of a sudden, looks really, really strong.
Yeah.
We've got options.
Yeah. Cheers, Andy. On to the second half.
Yeah.
Andy, we saw three subs warming up and we predicted quite correctly what they were going to be. Buonanotte for Lallana, Igor for James Milner and João Pedro in for... So essentially what we thought, we need to shake things up because we're 1-0 down, conceded after about 54 minutes. We've had a couple of attacks since. Still in the game, but we've got to get back on track, haven't we?
Yeah. I did say at half time that I was pretty pessimistic. I was a little bit surprised that we didn't make a change at half time. But, these players that have come on have got 30 minutes to really blast it.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
The one thing that I'm quite confident about is that there'll be at least one more goal in this game.
Yeah. And we do have that record of scoring and conceding over and over again.
Yeah.
Let's hope if it is only one goal, it's ours. But it's going to be tough to break them down.
No, I mean, they're so well organised. Their press is absolutely brilliant.
It is, isn't it? It is. And that, as I say to you off air, was one of the telling differences compared with last season. I didn't feel it was that effective as it is this year. As we head the ball away again, still having to defend, coming up to the 62 minute mark. So substitution, Welbeck is on for Adingra, but it looks like Buonanotte's gone on the right. So João playing as a 10 and Welbeck up front, I guess. But I would have put João on the right and kept Buonanotte in the middle. Anyway, we'll see what happens. 79 minutes gone, still 1-0. Mainly been all Arsenal again, Andy, hasn't it?
They've been absolutely all over us.
Yeah, very good team.
At the moment, it's a 1-0 massacre. They've had so many opportunities. Don't think we've had a shot and goal yet.
No. And it's, it could easily and probably should easily have been at least 3-0 here. And, well, it's 1-0, you never know. But this will be a smash and grab if we get something. But at the moment, they're on the attack again, just coming into the penalty area.
79
minutes.
Yeah. And it's cleared
again. And I did have Grosch's man of the match, but I think Donkey's probably superseded that in the last 15-20 minutes.
Although Gabriel Jesus has just turned him like.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make.
He turned attack to the fence,
doesn't make Dunk's performance bad.
No. Jesus has been very good. Arsenal have been very good in general. And let's see what happens. Just over 10 minutes
ago. We're attacking the end where we're stood, and we've gotten the penalty area once, I think. Mishima decided to fall over at the easiest opportunity.
He does that too often.
Yeah.
Attracting some boos from the home fans.
Again, I don't think we've even had a shot, let alone one goal.
Not that I can remember, no. And to my other side, to Andy, I'm next to my new acquaintance. We're just waiting for this sub noise to finish. My new acquaintance, my right at the game here today. State your name, sir.
It's Darren from Burgess Hill.
Excellent. Well, Darren, what do you think of the season, and what do you think of this game?
I think the season's been fantastic. I'm perfectly happy with how we're doing, given we're in Europe, did really well.
Yep.
Struggling with injuries, to be where we are is perfectly okay as far as I'm concerned. Today, second best, quite simply, got off to a little bit too good for us. We look a little bit jaded and probably getting what we deserve at the moment, but there's always that chance, we get one chance.
That's true. And we're saying off air, we take a hit in this game, because it's a free hit game, as they say.
Exactly.
It's right in the middle of two crucial matches, one for rivalry reasons, the earlier one being obviously the Marseille game. So it's not the end of the world, is it, really? I mean, not many teams are getting anything other than a 0 points in this game. We're on the attack, though.
Oh, I thought we scored.
I thought we scored.
Saw the net ripple.
What timing that would have been. Ball into the box. Pascal Gross sliding in.
Just wide.
Oh. We're going to have to keep talking if this keeps happening. And Darren, where do you think we're going to finish the season?
I'd be happy with anywhere
Now would be great, wouldn't it?
8, 9, 10, something like that. It's fine.
Fantastic.
Give us a good cup run either in Europe or the FA Cup or both.
Yeah,
brilliant. That's a decent season.
Superb stuff. And well, enjoy the rest of the game. Let's hope we can really enjoy it. Safe trip back to Burgess Hill, and good to have you on. Okay, so the post-match then, Duchess of Kent, with a load of Arsenal fans, including my mate Matthew, who we were talking to before the pod. I suppose you're pretty pleased with your reverse jinx working them.
I think it worked out very well, Russell.
2-0 to Brighton, 2-0 to Arsenal.
It worked perfectly. Exactly what I hoped would happen. Thank you to the forces of the universe for making this true.
Right, well, here's my analysis of the game. 2-0 flattered us. I think it could have been more, should have been more.
Yeah, should have been.
I mean, I don't suppose you're going to disagree with that, but no. What do you make of the game overall? Talk it through.
I thought it was a typical Arsenal performance, to be honest. We controlled a lot of the game and couldn't finish. That was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And that's what our season's been, but we got the result in the end. So
Looking at compared with last season, I mean, obviously we had a really good game last season. You were off it, but I think just the difference, apart from the obvious thing of the result, was I just thought you looked more. There's more swagger to the play. It looked like you were more inhabiting what you were doing than last season. A year into it, obviously.
You know, that's Declan Rice.
Declan Rice,
100%. That's where that comes from.
Yeah.
He is 100% swagger. He is
great signing.
He is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. He's made the biggest difference to the way we play and what we do.
Yeah. It's another few months in since we played you, where you've settled more and more into your stride. You're getting more and more used to the way Arteta wants to play it, and it shows. And the high press was really effective. You weren't really doing that, certainly not to that degree last season. That's another difference. So lots of good stuff in there, I think.
Yeah, I think generally played well. Deserved the win, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Brighton, it wasn't the usual Brighton that turned up today. It didn't really have much to show.
We didn't really get into it, did we?
No, not really, not at all.
Hardly had any shots till late on.
No,
couldn't smash and grab it.
But as we weren't scoring, I was saying to Matt, when we were one up, you know, I don't think you'd had a chance, but I said to Matt, all it takes is one. All it takes is one chance, and then and that can be the game. You know?
And you're thinking about how the recent results between the sides have gone at the Emirates, and you can't help but start thinking.
No,
oh, no,
and then
not
you
again.
Almost had that chance as well, and you didn't finish it, thankfully.
Pascal Gross, yeah. But happy days for you guys, and I think that really puts you right in the mix there for the title. I know no one's going to say, yeah, we'll win it at this stage. You're too mixed up in anxiety about jinxing it the wrong way.
Yes.
For that kind of thing. So I'm not even going to ask you if you're going to win it or not.
No.
Because you're going to be cagey in response.
No, we'll finish bottom is what's going to happen.
Ah, you're trying to the exact opposite.
Yeah,
thing
that's
again.
What
yeah,
we're
I like
try
that.
And
nice. So in that case, we're going to finish fourth bottom.
Something like that.
Yeah. Just ahead of Man United and Tottenham.
Yeah. Just behind them.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Just behind them. Yeah, that's right. Damn it. I didn't stay with the project, did I? Anyway, yeah, finishing ahead of Spurs would be good. I think everyone would be happy with that one. Anyway, yeah, so good luck for the rest of the season. We might have another chat with some of your other mates in a minute. But, any other words on the game or any other thoughts? That's pretty much it, huh?
That's pretty much it. I think it was a fairly one-dimensional game. There wasn't much
much going on really, was there, apart from
we just need to I think we were saying before the game we're just getting through a period where we've got an intense
schedule. I think defensively you did very, very well actually. I think there's a few players, Van Hecke, it's very good,
so solid, loads of good blocks. Hinchelwood's a good young player as well, and he came on for injured Veltman. That's true. Yeah, we can take credit from that at least. Yeah. But as I said before the game, we take a hit on this result. If we can beat Marseille, which we've already done, and if we can beat Palace on Thursday, which is all we're caring about.
Good luck.
Yeah, cheers. Yeah. Cheers, Matt. Peter, we're in the pub. We're watching Arsenal fans cheering on Man United. Yes, cheering on Man United in a game against Liverpool. It's 0-0, which would benefit Arsenal, obviously. And it's the final whistle. It is 0-0. They're happy, aren't they?
They certainly seem to be.
Let them enjoy this moment. They're doing all right this season, aren't they?
They are. I mean, it's quite sad to be supporting Man U, which is like quite disturbing anyone.
I mean, that's selling your soul to the devil, isn't it?
Yeah, especially seeing they hated him for so many years. Like,
yeah. But let's not judge them on that.
Oh, let's judge them. Let's go on.
Oh, no, I am judging them. I'm just saying I'm not, but I mean I'm judging them now. Anyway, that's that for now. Right. So we're in the Duchess of Kent, aren't we? Post-match, I'm with my mate Matthew's mate. Matt, this is going to be confusing. So my mate Matthew has a mate called Matthew, and he is married to your sister, Matteo.
Yeah.
Which of course is Italian for Matthew.
Nice to meet you guys.
How are you enjoying this? It's quite noisy at the moment, and that's because Liverpool has just failed to beat Man United, which means Arsenal are clear at the top. How are you feeling?
Very good. We get a draw at Anfield next week. We're top of the table going into the new year. Today was important. Yeah. Brighton are our bogey team, so it's first time beating Brighton in four years at home. Really important. And then see Liverpool draw against Man United. Now, we'll keep it going, really.
We have got the better of you, haven't we, recently? Yeah, so I knew this was coming back.
You've been our bogey team.
It was going to come out to halt us sometime.
Oh, without a doubt. You've been our bogey team. The last couple of years, last year, trying to go for the title. The year before that, going for Europe. Brighton beat us. But now we'll see. Yeah, so that was an important win at home to Brighton. And then seeing Liverpool just draw now, fantastic.
Absolutely. The Matthew thing is very confusing. So there's Matthew Mattioli, who clearly has an Italian name, but his first name is Matthew, very un-Italian. Your name is basically the same name, Matteo.
Exactly,
and you're married... is married to Matt.
And I'm Marco, who's also Italian.
Oh, you're Marco, not Matteo. No, Matteo is that guy, isn't it? Yeah. That's Matteo.
He's my cousin.
Yes.
Even more confusing
right.
For you.
Gotcha. So we've got a Marco, a Matteo, a Matthew who effectively is a Matteo, and then a Matthew who's married to an Italian.
Exactly that.
It's not confusing, folks.
Northwest Southern Italians, that's what it is for you.
How do you see the season going? Do you reckon you could do it?
It depends on the Champions League. I actually still think we've got more chance to win the Champions League than we do the league. So I still think Liverpool City will turn up at some point.
There's less games involved to win the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're one of the best teams in the tournament.
On our day, we can beat anybody in Europe.
Yeah.
We can also lose to anybody in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And we've shown that this season. Now we've drawn out in the Fulham, couple of away losses. But the Premier League's quite open this year compared to last year. You've got Liverpool and City both in the title race. Villa won't last the pace, but they're a tough side to beat. We saw that last week. They beat us 1-0, solid.
Yeah.
So you can never take points for granted in the Premier League. Whereas in Europe, we've been quite dominant in our group stage. You fear Real Madrid, you fear Bayern Munich, and you fear City. But
it's not like us with the Europa League. We're playing Ajax. You've got to fear Ajax because of the name.
Of course, yeah.
But actually, they're not a very good team.
No,
Marseille, we feared them.
Yeah.
Okay, they had four games wins in a row when we played them recently, but they're struggling in the season.
Oh, definitely,
it's all in context. Have a look at that. Turn around, have a look at that.
Premier League.
Arsenal are top.
Top of the league, say we are top of the league.
We are top of the league, say we are top of the league.
in case anyone wondered, we just had a look at the league table, and it seems Arsenal atop.
We got top of the league now,
now we got the real Matteo as well. Matteo, you've beaten our boys today 2-0. Should have been more. You've now looked at Liverpool failing to beat Man United, their arch rivals. You've got to be delighted with that, haven't you? Can they do it this season?
Very pleased, but it's a long way to go.
I know.
A long way to go.
That's the right answer.
And you know, Brighton have been at the Emirates three times, won three times, yeah. Hanging on now with injuries. Like, it's it's taking its toll. So, look, a good win, deserved win. It should have been more.
Yeah, agreed.
You can't take too many conclusions from today.
Yeah,
no, exactly. No way.
Or indeed any individual game. No, it's about the whole season.
Exactly.
And we're still in the first half, aren't we? When all said and done.
That's
well,
it.
Thereabouts.
We've still not hit top gear. That's the only thing I'll say.
Yeah.
We're not hit top gear. Could it be us? Well, City are falling down. Liverpool, the big
grumble.
But they always come back. They always come back. March time onwards. It just the question with Man City is, how long a winning streak do they need to go on to win the league? And then you look at their fixes and you think, well, they could do it. Yeah. So if it has to be 17, well, there's only two clubs who aren't in that winning streak, but they could do it. Because you can think they, on any given day, they'll beat anyone in the league.
Yeah.
So for the other challenges, next week's massive. Arsenal Liverpool next weekend is an enormous game.
Oh, huge, huge game.
Enormous game.
If there's a decisive result in that one, particularly for you guys being a point ahead, that could sway it.
If Arsenal, who knows? I think if Arsenal can get a result at Anfield, a win that is, look, that means more than the 3 points. Because we've not won there in so long. And if we can go there and we can win and then go whatever it is, 4 points clear, that is enormous.
Yeah.
And I think that's the belief that the players need.
Yeah.
The same way that earlier in the season they needed to beat Man City at home. If we beat Liverpool away, you know, then I think really if you're an Arsenal fan you have to say it's ours to lose.
Yeah.
And at that point all the pressure goes on the players and the manager at that point.
Fascinating title race. Quick word about us as well. What obviously not today, we weren't on it today. What have you made of us over the season though, and last season too?
Brighton continued to show that remarkable, it's a miracle still what's going on at Brighton, where you lose Caicedo, you lose, I'd say Trossard, I think a lot of Brighton fans would say he wasn't that much of a miss, but
no, he's a good player.
You lose a lot of players and you continue to play at a high level. It's credit to the system, it's credit to De Zerbi.
Yeah.
And look, there's no club in the Premier League who wouldn't wish Brighton all the best in terms of Europa League and all else.
Apart from Palace, obviously.
maybe Palace, but I even think, you know, Palace have had their moment in the sun. They drew with Man City this weekend and that's about as good as it'll get for them this season.
I like that comment. Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, brilliant. And we're hoping to carry on doing what we're doing. You carry on doing what you're doing and you might win the league. It's very possible.
What do you think? Europa League? Is it on?
For us, I reckon so. I think we can win it. Why not? There's not many teams better. We've got Liverpool. We've got a couple of teams who could match us, could do better than us. But on a one-off basis, we could do it. Just as you, the same with you with the title. Nothing's guaranteed that you could win it. You're in pole position. It's a matter of can you keep there? Can you ride through whatever comes up in the meantime?
I think the Liverpool game next week is massive for that.
Yeah, it is a massive game, isn't it? Lose that and it would feel like you've lost the key ground. Win that doesn't guarantee anything, but it would feel like you're keeping pole position.
For sure.
Keep winning the big games.
For sure.
Yeah. And don't worry about Villa, because everyone's losing at bloody Villa. My God, they're good at home.
They're good. Wembley's a good manager.
Yeah.
No one's ever doubted that. And I think a lot of Arsenal fans wouldn't have doubted that
just
either.
Just the wrong time, wasn't it?
Wrong team in the wrong time.
Yeah. There we go. Matteo, it's been a pleasure, sir. Cheers.
Take care.
And we move over to a couple of other gooners. In fact, it might be three. We'll see if you want to come on as well in a minute. We've got John and we've got Matt Moore. Matt is one of the other Matts. There's a very confusing number of Matts and Matteos that I've had on the pod already. This is a long story already, but we'll come to you in a moment, Matt. But first to you, John. Good lad and a true Arsenal fan. How are you enjoying this season?
Well, it's very good so far. I think I think this year we've got more control than we did over games last year. So last year was probably a bit more exciting in terms of we're scoring more goals earlier on, and then it's like over time, we, you know, over the games, we're kind of like seeing them out. Whereas this year, we're probably scoring later on, like today, against your boys. I was a bit worried because, like I said to some of the boys earlier on, you beat us the last three times I've been to watch Brighton. Like, you've had some good days, haven't you, against us?
We have.
Very good days.
And there's that old bogey thing, isn't there? You could dominate the game. You won it up, we have one shot, it goes in.
Yeah, definitely.
You must have been thinking
I thought,
the end.
I thought you were... You looked tired tonight. Were you tired today?
Yeah, 100%. You're right on the money.
I was glad when I looked at the Europa League table in the week, when I saw you hadn't qualified top.
You had to win.
Because we were in that position last year, and we had to play PSV and we won 1-0.
Yeah.
But I remember at the end, we were all nervous because that extra game, you don't want that extra game.
And we've got Palace on Thursday. So we were always going to...
So what's the bigger game, Arsenal or
Palace? it's a case of we could play well, put a full strength out, and still lose here.
Did he rest play today, though? Joel? No.
Well, Joel was on the bench, so he would have started if it was Palace.
I would say that's a big win for us. And without wanting to kind of big it up to your listeners, I feel more confident about us winning the league after beating you than I do after Man City, because we never beat you home. It's bogey.
I like that. Keep talking, John.
Man City's Man City, isn't it? But you always do beat us at home.
Yeah.
And so it feels like one of those things we have to do if we want to win the league.
Yeah.
Like, got to beat Brighton home.
Yeah.
And we've done it today. And I know you look tired, but it was good.
Matt, would you go along with that? My old mate, Matt Moore. Matt, welcome to the pod. Your debut on the podcast. Are you feeling pretty nice about this game? I suppose you are.
Of course I am, mate.
That's what we love about you, that laugh. Everyone loves that laugh, don't they? It's just trademark.
It was like John said, you looked tired, but you were good otherwise. I think you're a proper team. You're a proper team.
Yeah. But still defensively good, weren't we? Made it hard.
Bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
Every time I had a shot, it was fucking annoying.
Lewis Dunk, who according to Gareth Southgate, is shitter than Michael Keane and Tyrone Mings and Tarkovsky. And it's
so much talent here.
But no, we're good in defence, And ironically, that's the first time, I don't know if you noticed, that's the first time in 33 games that we haven't scored a Premier League goal.
Really?
And the irony is, last time we kept a clean sheet was against you guys last season.
Yeah, you were fucking grinding that day.
Yeah.
You play us like a fiddle.
Stats all over the bloody place.
I don't know what to do with them, Russ.
It's always great. We had a good old chat offline, and it's great to catch up with you. Wonderful guy. Great fan of Arsenal as well. I wish you the best, mate, for the season. Yeah. Do you want to have a word as well? State your name for the record.
I won't say no.
Yeah. What's your name, mate?
Charlie.
So, Charlie, what do you make of the season? What do you make of the game? And are you going to win the title?
I think it's way too early for that. Way too early for that.
Good answer. You don't want to screw yourself over with an early prediction.
You're an A&M, aren't you?
Like, I mean, to be honest, like, you know, it's great for us to kind of turn around the errors from last season.
Yeah.
You know, we were so close last season, and you know, the Brighton game at home, 3-0, it literally just literally killed everything.
No one saw that coming.
Yeah.
Maybe a result, I mean, for us, you know, but not 3-0.
Don't get me wrong, I was there that day, and Brighton were well worthy of that win. We controlled the game to an extent, but then that, you know, the goals that you scored on the counter attack, you know, I mean, players like Caicedo really showed their class that day, and I think, you know, for us today, it was really important that we kind of turned it around.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, again, we were at danger, you know, in a position whereby we nearly lost it. I think you guys hit the side net in when it was 1-0. You know, if you had scored then, it might have changed the game. But at the same time, we've kind of learned from those mistakes and kind of went on and scored that second. Whereas last season, you guys fully deserved it. And that was the end of our title challenge. So, I mean, it's great for us, you know, as an Arsenal fan, to turn it around and go on and push on for that win.
Playing that bogey match, the Emirates Arsenal Brighton game earlier in the season might have helped you, because we normally play it right near the end, don't
right.
we?
Yeah.
You missed out on the Champions League because of us, because of a draw. I remember a year or two before that as well.
Yeah.
So I could see how much we spoke to Matthew Mattioli earlier on. He said, "I don't hate Arsenal, but I don't hate Brighton, but I hate everything about the Brighton game because we keep bloody getting done by you. At last, you haven't been." But it's earlier in the season, and ironically, we're quite tired now.
Yeah,
you would think that would be an end of season thing, but we've had a lot of injuries, a lot of tiredness, all that sort of stuff. That's true of a few teams, but in the end, I think you deserve to win by far. Yeah. And I think you're a good bet for the title this season.
Long way to go, way to go. But I mean, it was an interesting stat by saying what was it? The last clean sheet that you guys had.
Was against you guys.
Yeah.
That match of all games.
Yeah.
And that's the first time today, that's the first time in 33 games that we haven't scored in the Premier League as well. So another interesting stat, but there we go. Right, Charlie, thank you for chatting to us. This is it from the Duchess of Kent, isn't it? I'm in the right, that's the name of the pub.
Liverpool Road.
in Islington. We had a great old time. I don't care about the result, because as long as we beat Marseille and as long as we beat Palace, I don't care. You don't mind us beating Palace on
good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Same to you, sir. Cheers.
Yeah, he was pretty
so,
today.
I'm now walking away from the pub with Peter and his dad, David. And good old chat. They're very noisy in there. But what the hell about the game? It's all about the next match. And it's the third of three games in a row against teams with Arsenal in their name. We played Marseille.
You've stolen my line.
We played Arsenal and we're now playing Palace. Peter, it's your joke, the last bit.
You stole my line,
The last bit is your bit, yeah. It's two teams.
I'm still intrigued who the random person was who picked up the stat of two in a row, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone has far too much time and eclectic thoughts
literally
on his hands, but anyway, we're walking up.
Literally sat on his arse doing nothing, apparently.
We're walking up for a bit of food and drink. Final thoughts about the game, Peter?
We didn't deserve anything from the game. We were poor. We didn't really. We looked like a team who'd put everything into Thursday and didn't really have enough to give. The frustrations for me are we conceded a really soft first goal, but Brooken gave it away poorly to get the corner, and then he didn't deal with that well with the set piece. But Han Hecker headed it straight on, and Haters was unmarked. And then the fact that we missed an absolute sitter at 1-0, he should have scored.
Yeah.
I mean, if I see it again and from the other angle, it's a bit less of a sitter, fair enough. But of all the players you want to take that chance, Pascal would be the absolute one that you would expect to. Second goal was fine. We were pushing forward and they caught us on the break. But yeah, first goal was really soft and it was...
Yeah.
Should never, I mean, Arsenal aren't a particularly strong team from set pieces, I don't think. And we gifted them a goal, having fought so hard to stay 0-0.
It's frustrating, isn't it? Because we have been defending really well. I think Dunk had an excellent game. Van Hecker had an excellent game.
If anything, probably quite profligate as well. I mean, they should have been three up by the hour mark when they were 0-0 still, or by 55 minutes, whatever else they scored their first goal. We just, the fact they didn't really test for Bruggen until quite late on, they only headed straight at him or shot straight at him, was probably a sign of why they may not win the title, to me, to be honest. I was talking to one of the Matts walking up, and he was saying they need a striker.
One of the Matts? There's millions of Matts around here.
He was saying they need a striker as well. They need an actual predatory striker. Jesus was never that at City. He had Aguero ahead of him if he played generally. So, but yeah, I mean, fair play. Arsenal deserved to win, no question about it. We were really poor, but I think it's just a hangover from Thursday with such a massive night and such an emotional night, and losing Veltman as well was a huge blow.
I mean that's the bigger issue,
and that's not to blame Hinchelwood, because Hinchelwood played really well, I thought, when he came on. But
it's just the loss of another member of personnel,
exactly.
Isn't it,
especially a fullback? We haven't exactly got any of those left.
Not too many, you know.
Well, actually, if he is out Thursday, actual fullbacks will be injured. We'll only be playing like either a youngster or a player who's 37 at fullback, or
I'm not sure we should have gone, but we're walking now. We're walking.
I'm going to commit one today.
Crossing the roads on the way.
We've got run over live on a podcast. How that work?
That could have been good, couldn't it? Yeah.
We've got more listeners.
Yeah.
People going, thank God they're dead.
This is the moment they died. Crossing the road in Lower Islington, Upper Islington, something like that. Anyway, yes. So
well, yeah, I thought we didn't have anything in the tank. Rosh would have scored that goal 99 out of 100, but he missed because he was knackered and because he was struggling. Obviously,
we'd take it for the win against Marseille, and if we can win against Palace, wouldn't we?
Even a draw at Palace, to be honest. I mean, we don't lose them. We keep our distance from them. We're just fighting until January. We can get a few more players in and get a bit of a break as well. Because, I mean, to be honest, Deserbi's done incredibly with the squad we've got, the depth we've got. You look at what happened to Newcastle midweek and the way they completely collapsed in the last half hour. He's hit all his changes, which have been questioned by a lot of people, have been down to getting us not doing that. And in the last half hour against Marseille, we really pushed forward and really gave it a go and got the goal. And that's because De Zerbi's been changing our team rather than, you know, leaving the same 11 out for like five games in a row, which is what Eddie Howe's been doing.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie Howe's roosters are coming home to roost, aren't they?
What do you mean, Behedi Howe, actually?
Yeah. Behedi Howe, yeah. Because
his friends call him.
I mean, if you remember when Eddie Howe was manager of Bournemouth and they got promoted ahead of us, and we were keeping our counsel and we were staying prudent with our spending. And Bournemouth spent loads of money with petrochemical dollars and all that. And they went ahead of us. And Eddie Howe...
You're not bitter about that, though, are you?
I'm not bitter about it at all, no, of course.
You sound completely unbitter.
Absolutely. And to me, Eddie Howe, he played a very limited number of players week after week after week and played a full-strength team in the Cups and went very far in the Cups, particularly the FA Cup. I think it got to the quarter-final in the year that they... got promoted, and they just kept playing and winning games. They just didn't get injuries, and I think that's his sensibility, and he's tried it to some degree with Newcastle, but this time he's come and stuck with the same policy, less luck.
And a lot of it, to be fair, they've had a lot of it, like we have, but yeah, I think the De Zerbi moving teams around has actually worked quite well.
Yeah, that's now, the bigger picture, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Deserby's a class above Howe, there's no question to me. It's like, they're not even close. I know Newcastle fans might disagree, but to me, it's like, Deserby's a level up. He hasn't had, like, kind of illegal Saudi money that should be banned from the game. Murderers and that sort of thing. So, we basically were quite well behind him in the summer because of their money. They didn't spend another, 100 million, and we basically brought in 100 million. And yet we're sitting a point or two or 3 points behind them now or something like that.
Yeah. You know, this is Matthew Mattioli, the first guy we spoke to of the various Arsenal supporting Matthews. He was saying, if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to be a top four team. I'm not quite sure about
I think you can't physically get that high up by selling your best players. I think that's the problem.
I don't think it's
a bad policy for us as a club. I don't think we can ever be that club.
Well, I think his theory was that we would actually be able to achieve the notion of not selling the players.
No, because that's the whole policy of bringing them in, though, isn't it?
Well,
that's why we bring them in, because they can promise them a chance to move to.
Does it depend on how we do? So, for example, if we win the Europa League, which is feasible this season, we get in the Champions League. We've got a different budget then, haven't we?
Yeah, the Champions League.
We could tempt players then.
The Champions League is a one differential. And we need to make sure we don't do what Leicester do. I don't think we would do, but they throw it on a load of crap. We would buy younger players who would then sell for even more if it came to it, and then we'd be able to buy even more younger players. And I think the Champions League would change things, but I don't see we'll be able to be top four at the moment.
Yeah.
Maybe even top five. I think the Europa League possibly is our one route into that.
Well, I'm conscious that the wind is getting up as we're walking in the street here, so you'll be hearing a lot of distortion. Yes, I've not had the curry yet. It's going to get rather noisy and annoying, so we're going to wrap it up there. Peter and is that David who's with us? Hello, David. We've had a good day out regardless. We've got Thursday to look forward to. I'll take a hit on today based on the notion of winning on Thursday. We'd go for that.
I guarantee that. I take a draw on Thursday.
Yeah.
Always good to win at Palace, absolutely. That's true. So, the next episode, subject to any changes, is our big Palace preview with my new buddy, my new Palace supporting fan, and probably his daughter as well, Cleo, is Toby. couple of other Albion fans joining us in the pub as well. We're doing a preview in a pub in South London on Wednesday. I know, it's astonishing, isn't it? That's our next episode.
That's the big shocking kind of news of the day. Russell's going to a pub.
Peter, stop distracting my outro here. So, Peter, we've finished this one. Stand or fall?
Up the Albion. Sports Social Podcast Network.